You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We're not sure how much Julio Jones will be a Falcon, but we do know that we'll be with you right here on NFL Live for the next hour. Welcome in alongside Keyshawn Johnson, Tim Hasselbeck, and Kimberly Martin, who we'll speak to in just a moment. I am Field Yates. And, you know, Julio tends to spark some conversation, and players around the league have been making their pitches for Julio to come to their team via social media this week. Perhaps nobody has been more outspoken than Titans wide receiver A.J. Brown. Here's what he had to say on why Julio Jones should come to Tennessee.
I'm gonna sell you on some things right here. Listen to me closely. We have 10 of you. Mr. Finger Roll himself.
Tannehill with the finger roll!
Him, behind me, superhuman. We don't even have to discuss him.
Throws a man down!
He speaks for himself. Look how mean he look in the picture. Then me, I'm up and coming. Pro Bowl, year two. Not a big deal, kind of a big deal, but not really. You, the GOAT of our era. Help me help you. Come home, Julio. Come home.
I'm about ready to start printing the Julio Tennessee jerseys. A.J. Brown obviously did all the campaigning he can to get to his role model, Julio Jones. Let's welcome in Diana Rossini right now. And Diana, you've been all over this story. What are the chances of a trade between Atlanta and Tennessee happening?
Field, A.J. Brown, Taylor Lewan, Derrick Henry. It seems this entire offense in Tennessee is doing everything they can to try to get Julio Jones, but unfortunately for them, they don't make the decision. It's all gonna come down to GM John Robinson, and I was told that the Tennessee Titans are in fact talking to the Atlanta Falcons, but when I did a little bit more digging on it, I was able to find out that there's actually an offer on the table for a trade of Julio Jones to a team that's offering a future first round draft pick. So obviously that is a lot for Julio Jones. I'm not sure whether or not the Tennessee Titans can match that, but that is the best offer. And a source did share with me that they do expect this trade to go down sometime early June.
All right, thanks, Diana. As always, you're all over it. Let's go to you now, Key, a guy who, of course, was worth the number one overall pick as a wide receiver back in his day. Is Julio Jones worth a first-round pick at some point in the future? Where he's at right now at the age of 32?
You know, I think he is, Phil, and it all depends on what organization feels like that they're one big-time ex-receiver away. And when I think about it at 32 years old, yeah, 10 years in the league, but highly productive when healthy, one of the top five wide receivers in the National Football League and probably the top receiver of his generation. When you look at some of the things that he can do in a West Coast-style system, comes to mind for me, not only the Baltimore Ravens, what everybody's talking about, but here's one no one's talking about, the Las Vegas Raiders. When you think about big receivers, they don't have any. Henry Ruggs is a itty-bitty. Okay, they got John Brown, an itty-bitty. The biggest wide receiver is Darren Waller, who's a tight end. John Gruden loves veteran guys. I think that is a team, when you look at Derek Carr, who can use a big-time red zone target like Julio Jones, it makes all the perfect sense in the world, and they wouldn't mind paying the money.
Yeah, I think Kim makes some good points there when you think about, you know, places that would be a fit. I think the tricky thing, and I just kind of piggyback on what Diana was saying, is take the Tennessee Titans, for example. You're talking about basically inheriting a contract 3 years, about $37 million. Well, you also have to give up a first-round draft pick to acquire Julio Jones. Mm-hmm. Corey Davis, who they drafted in the top five, basically got 3 years, $37 million from the Jets, and you could have re-signed him and not given up a first rounder. So to me, the Titans aren't a team that necessarily makes sense. I think you probably have to look kind of where Key is talking, where it's a coach that values, kind of the veteran experience, especially at that position, with somebody that definitely has plenty of football left in him, but also just kind of a fit with how they would use him and who the other wide receivers on that football team are, because there is going to be a change for Julio. And look, he's been a guy that's had over 200 targets in a season before. He's used to the ball coming his way, used to having things designed to come to him. It may be different at one of these other spots if they have a true number one already in place.
Kimberly, you get the fun question. Which teams do you think should be going after Julio Jones? Perhaps the Titans, but others that come to mind for you are who?
Yeah, forget the Titans. Three teams, Baltimore. If the GM DaCosta is not on the phone right now trying to get Lamar Jackson, a big body wide receiver, I don't know what's going on. Also, 49ers. Between the defense, their offense, this team is one key wide receiver away from being, like, to me, I think they're tops in the NFC. Yeah. I see them going to the Super Bowl. The last one, Green Bay. If I am the Packers GM, I am on the phone trying to get Aaron Rodgers, and I'm saying, hey, do you want Julio? Because I'll try to get Julio if you want. All those wide receivers that I didn't get for you before, let me get Julio. Can you come back? Can we restructure your contract? Let's make it work. So to me, those three teams are the teams that by far should be on the phone trying to get Julio Jones.
You're right, Kim, in terms of Green Bay. There's no question that maybe there's a fit there. But if there's no Aaron Rodgers, why would you do it? Plus, if I'm Devontae Adams and I'm giving Julio Jones $23, $24, $5 million, I'm like, well, you just gave him that type of money. Well, what type of money are you going to pay me? So now you get caught up in, you know, Devontae Adams versus Julio Jones money issue. Mm-hmm. That creates a whole nother situation for Green Bay, and I don't think they want to go down another avenue.
I get it.
Well, as we all know, money is certainly going to be a driving force in this decision at some point. And just a reminder of those teams that we showed you just a moment ago who actually have cap space right now, the top 12 in terms of cap space. As of right now, and Julio Jones is scheduled to make $15.3 million next season. So you're going to have plenty of cap space unless his contract is either altered or Atlanta agrees to pay part of it in a potential trade. We will continue to watch the Julio Jones sweepstakes, but it's late May, and we've got reporters all over the NFL maps at OTAs. And let's get all the latest. And we start with ESPN NFL Nation Jaguars reporter Mike DiRocco in Jacksonville.
Thanks, Field. Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars offense struggled some in red zone work on Thursday. Lawrence overthrew several receivers and had a few more passes broken up. But head coach Urban Meyer says it's natural for a rookie quarterback to struggle in such a tight area, especially when it's one of the first few times he's facing an NFL defense. As for Tim Tebow, he didn't look out of place at tight end. He got some extra coaching work after drills, but he caught every pass thrown his way, including two for touchdowns. For more on the Patriots, here's Mike Reese.
Thanks, Mike. At one point in practice today, the Patriots split their four quarterbacks in two groups. It was Cam Newton and Mac Jones on one side of the field and Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham on the other. And then at one point in team drills, Mac Jones stepped in right behind Cam Newton, foreshadowing what's to come in training camp in late July, a Cam-Mac competition for the starting job. Field, back to you.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Julio Jones wants out of Atlanta. Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay. It's late May, and the offseason may just be getting underway in the NFL. Or the Falcons have been asking for a first-round draft pick.
He's Julio Jones. He's one of the greatest wide receivers in NFL history.
You know, we're just going to continue to try to work through this and hopefully can get him back in the building at some point.
Dak got paid. Dallas has their man, and he's ready to go.
Burrow is, quote, all systems go for the team's September 12th opener.
I mean, what an offseason we're having. This is a whole lot of fun.
With the Packers' OTAs continuing, one absence has remained unchanged. Aaron Rodgers. The star quarterback has been most recently spotted enjoying time in Hawaii on vacation as the ongoing saga between he and the team that drafted him 16 years ago continues. Recently retired Alex Smith, the only quarterback taken before Rodgers in the 2005 NFL draft, chimed in with his thoughts on how the organization has done wrong by Aaron Rodgers, the league's reigning MVP.
Surprise? It's inexcusable. It's absolutely, I think.
What do you mean?
how they ever got to this point. I mean, Aaron's been there 16 years, what he's given to that organization. And I don't think it was the fact that they drafted Jordan Love. How do you have a guy like Aaron and you don't go make sure beforehand, you aren't going out of your way to make sure that he knows that he's loved? From my understanding, it's kind of like it was a bit of an unknown, a bit blindsided. I mean, how you haven't addressed that beforehand when you make a move like that and really made sure that everybody's feeling good about that. It's just not the way you run a business.
For the latest on the Packers kicker situation, no, I kid, unfortunately, we have to talk about the Packers quarterback situation once again with the great Rob Domofsky, our ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter. And Rob, we know Aaron Rodgers isn't at OTAs. That opens the door for Jordan Love. What have you seen so far from the second-year quarterback? Oh, we had a quick tech issue there with Rob, which is just the beauty of television. All right, so we'll tell you about Rob's thoughts in a second, but Jordan Love didn't make any starts last year in his rookie season. That much you know, he wasn't even active for a single game. He became just the third first-round quarterback to make zero starts in his rookie year over the last 15 seasons, joining Jake Locker and Brady Quinn, believe it or not. All right, so let me start with Tim here on this one. Tim, and I know we're going to get Rob's thoughts here in just a moment, but based off of what you saw really from Jordan Love in college, because that's the only sample size we have, is he the eventual answer in Green Bay?
I don't think he is, Field, and basically because I think that Aaron's not done in Green Bay. And so when you think about, you know, the opportunity for Jordan Love, at a minimum, you know, his chance to prove that he can play before the team has to decide whether or not to pick up his fifth-year option basically, you know, has been cut in half. And I think that Alex Smith's sound on the situation is right on the money. Look, it doesn't mean you can't draft a quarterback if you've got a superstar at the position. But you think back to 2018 and 2019. Over that period of time, Aaron Rodgers threw 51 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. Think about it, 51 and 6, that ratio, over about, you know, 8,000 yards. And what was the reward? The reward was, no, we're not going to draft Chase Claypool. We're going to draft Jordan Love. And so then Aaron, on his kind of revenge tour there, you know, throws 48 touchdowns and 5 picks last season. Basically, he's the best player at the position in the league. Like, I understand exactly what Alex Smith is saying because I agree with it 100%. Aaron, I think, has been treated poorly in this situation. Doesn't mean you can't go draft somebody, but at least talk to the guy about it when the guy is playing at such a high level. And people try to compare it to the Brett Favre situation when they drafted him, and it is not the same. Brett was talking about retiring every year for probably 7 years, it felt like. Aaron wasn't doing that. Aaron was not talking about slowing down. So when I look at this, right, I understand how angry Aaron is about it.
You know, Tim is right. Tim mentioned all the numbers and what the way Aaron Rodgers has played at quarterback and all of those sort of things. It's all about the communication. All you got to do is simply say, hey, we're thinking about this. We like this young quarterback. If he's there, we may get him. We like his future. We don't know what we're going to do yet. But instead, they decided to just do it without communication. I'm a receiver. In every single team I ever played on that brought a receiver into the room, there was communication. Whether it was Bill Parcells saying, hey, we're thinking about this guy. Whether it was Rich McKay and John Gruden said, hey, we like Marquise Walker. We're thinking of the second round for him. What do you think? Or whether it was Dallas Cowboys and Bill Parcells trading for Peerless Price and saying, hey, we want to bring in Peerless Price. What you think? Whatever the case may be, it was communication, not to upset the room. And I think in this situation, the Green Bay Packers dropped the ball, egg on their face.
This is a story that will not go away. That much is for sure. And Kimberly, you have an interesting thought here. There's a lot of negatives to this situation, but who might be the winner in all of this?
Field, honestly, if I'm Kirk Cousins, I'm loving this. I'm loving all this drama. I'm loving Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to be back in Green Bay, because if I'm the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings, I'm sitting back and I'm looking at this division. I'm looking at the NFC North and I'm like, all right, Jared Goff in Detroit, new head coach, completely new staff, new roster, new QB. Jared Goff was discarded, sent to Detroit. I'm looking at the Chicago Bears. I think Justin Fields will be a very good quarterback. But right now, Andy Dalton is there. What's the plan with them? You've got a GM and a head coach who are on the hot seat until we see actual wins and playoff wins, right? And the Packers? Jordan Love? Are you scared of the Packers the same way with Jordan Love? Not that he won't be a good quarterback, but given the situation, given the limited time that he's been allowed to practice, play, develop chemistry with his team, I'm feeling pretty good if I'm on the Minnesota Vikings.
Hey, Kim, we saw Green Bay Packers with Deshaun Kaiser, and we saw the Green Bay Packers with Brett Huntley. So I'm happy if I'm in that division.
Key, you're not supposed to bring up those memories recently for Packers fans. They're going through a lot right now. And a reminder, since trading for Brett Favre all the way back in 1992, the Packers have used only 7 different starting quarterbacks, which is by far the fewest in that span in the NFL. It's almost 30 years. Wow, 7 quarterbacks in 30 years. You know, the story of the Texans offseason has been and will remain the status of quarterback Deshaun Watson, who requested a trade months ago. But his immediate future remains in question amidst allegations of sexual assault and misconduct. Head coach David Culley was asked again about the latest on Watson.
We have nothing more to say. We've talked about the Deshaun situation with Nick and I both and with Cal, and nothing's new on that.
So he has not been to the facility at all?
I have nothing to say about that situation.
All right, Kimberly, we know this is a tricky situation in a lot of ways, but where do things currently stand with the interest around the league in trading for Deshaun Watson?
Field, everybody's sort of in a holding pattern because no one knows how this Deshaun Watson situation will play out. Texans don't know. Other teams don't know. Keep in mind, before all the off-field allegations, sexual misconduct allegations came about, there were teams that were very much interested in trading for Deshaun Watson, calling the Texans, and Nick Casario wasn't picking up the phone and not returning messages. So there were a lot of teams then who were interested. And as of now, there still are teams out there that would love to add a Deshaun Watson to the roster. But it all depends on how the situation plays out. If he settles, if it's proven that these allegations are all nonsense or they're not true, then teams will feel better adding him to the roster. But really, it's about how this ends, because that will determine where he ends up, if anywhere.
Yeah, certainly a lot left to be untold or, I guess, figured out in this Deshaun Watson situation, as there are so many chapters to this story.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We continue with Adam Schefter's 10 biggest questions this offseason. And today, we focus on the Patriots for question number 7. Can New England and Bill Belichick get back to their winning ways?
Do the Patriots get back to their winning ways? It used to be that New England dominated the postseason. But this year, the Patriots dominated the offseason, spending $165 million on free agents at the start of the new league year.
Dollar deal, y'all.
If it felt like they were throwing money at their problems, it's because they were. Last season, their tight ends didn't produce, so this offseason, New England signed Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry.
Touchdown, Jonnu Smith!
Touchdown, Hunter Henry!
The two top tight ends on the free agent market. They also signed wide receivers Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Aguilar. They bolstered the defense with Matthew Judon, Devon Gotchu, Jalen Mills, and Kyle Van Noy. When Robert Kraft bought the Patriots in 1994, he paid $172 million. The Patriots spent nearly that much on a different kind of team this offseason, one it expects to help propel them back to postseason prominence.
All right, so for more on the Patriots, we bring in the incomparable ESPN Patriots reporter Mike Reese. Mike, you were there this afternoon at OTAs. What did you see from quarterback Mac Jones?
Field, the only thing that looked out of place with Mac Jones at Patriots practice was his unusual number, 50. That's Bill Belichick's way of keeping all rookies humble and to remind them to focus on the important stuff. Jones worked behind Cam Newton at quarterback, and he's getting a lot of one-on-one coaching from offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. At one point, I looked up and veteran quarterback Brian Hoyer had pulled Mac Jones aside to go over the finer points of a fundamental. The goal? Get Mac up to speed so come training camp at the end of July, he's ready to compete for the starting job. Field?
Key, I'm impatient by nature. I know we got more OTAs and training camp, but I want to know who's going to have the Patriots starting quarterback role in week one, in your opinion?
It's simple and plain. It's Cam Newton. And I understand the sexiness of drafting Mac Jones with the 15th pick in the draft, but let's be real with ourselves. They didn't go out in the offseason and do all those moves, much like Adam Schefter said, to give way to Mac Jones. When you go back and you look at the history of Cam Newton, he comes into a situation. They basically started off the season solid. There's a couple plays here and there. They go to Seattle. If they block Bobby Wagner, that's a touchdown. We're not even having this conversation. If he puts the football in the left arm toward the sideline, he doesn't fumble against Buffalo. They probably win that game. He doesn't catch COVID. Most likely, they probably win 9-10 games with no weapons on the offensive side of the ball for them whatsoever. A defense that was holding things together as much as possible. So when you look at it, I know people point to the $14 million and say that's not a lot of money. No, that is a lot of money, and it is incentive-laced, but they expect for him to make those incentives. Also, injury problems. People make it seem as though Cam Newton is an injury-prone quarterback. That's not true. If you go back and you look at 2018 and 2019, prior to those 2 years, the guy played 119 games and only missed seven. Only seven, and the only reason why he missed games this year was because of COVID. I don't see where Mac Jones steps on the field unless there's an injury this year.
Yeah, I see it differently than you, Key. I get what you're saying about Cam's career, and I don't know that anyone that's played that doesn't have a ton of respect for what he has accomplished. But you mentioned the injuries. Typically, the injuries happen later in your career, not necessarily early in your career. That's why he played two games in 2019. You know, when you look at the production last year, I think that's probably the bigger concern. Only threw 8 touchdown passes last year. This is a passing league. I'll just say it. I don't think you would have wanted to play with him at this stage in his career. Like, he's not a passer. He hasn't developed the way that you would kind of want a guy to develop at that position. So, well, listen, he threw 8 touchdown passes in a passing league. He's thrown 8 over the last 2 seasons. That's a problem. Now, look, he's going to be surrounded with better talent than he was a year ago. Sure, that'll be the case. But you also drafted a quarterback in the first half of the first round that is actually going to come in fairly ready because of how he was coached in college, what his experience is. And so I think the challenge there is also the money that is due to him. You mentioned $14 million. Really, they're paying him backup money. They paid him backup money last year. They're paying him backup money this year. And it's not beyond New England to say, look, we got it wrong. We're actually just going to cut bait here and go, you know, another direction. And so, look at this. I mean, he's making half of what Andy Dalton and Ryan Fitzpatrick are making. That, to me,
Tim, let me ask you this. Every analyst that I can think of during the season last year sat on national television and said they're not going to sign Cam Newton back. Oh, they don't like Cam. Cam's out of there. What was the first thing the New England Patriots did? They signed Cam Newton back. Whether it was a 1 year, a 5 year, 6 year minimum, whatever the case is, they signed him back because they saw what I saw, which is he has nothing around him. He struggled. Let's give him a real opportunity to show what he can do. To me, that speaks volumes. That speaks a lot of volumes when a team decides that they're going to go and sign a guy that everybody thought. Now, when you talk about 8 touchdowns only being thrown, so we're going to base that, his career in New England, based on touchdowns being thrown when there was nobody to throw him to? I mean, come on now, Tim. Let's be honest with each other.
No, hey, listen. Well, okay, but if we're going to talk about the record, like how about the coaching job of Bill Belichick? I mean, I think we have to kind of factor that in as well. I think a better quarterback play, they're winning, you know, they're better than a 500 team. Look, I understand that people think that there's still football left in Cam Newton. Look, I thought that New England was the spot that he should have gone to, you know, a year ago when we were talking about what's the best landing spot for Cam Newton. All of that to say, they did draft a quarterback in the first round. There's a reason they did it, and it's because they have an aging quarterback that threw 8 touchdown passes last year.
I don't want to jump in here and settle this fight for you guys, but I will say
there's no fight.
Clearly the Patriots Clearly, the Patriots are going to be better than what we saw last year. I agree with Key that they will start with Cam Newton. I think eventually we will see a changing of the guard because they did draft Mac Jones, but you don't throw him out there before he's ready, right? And I think out of all the QBs that were taken outside of Trevor Lawrence, I think Mac is the most pro-ready. But you can't tell me that Belichick, he's not dumb. Field and I know where he went to school. He's not dumb. He didn't spend all that money in the offseason just to go 7-9 or 8-8. All the money spent between him and Kraft, all the upgrades to this offense and this defense, the Patriots will be a lot better. Belichick is looking around the division. Okay, you might not have to worry about the Jets right now, but the Buffalo Bills, that's a team to beat in the AFC, and they're in his division.
Anytime you can make a Wesleyan University reference on NFL Live, it's a good day. That's right, the proud alma mater of Kimberly, myself, and also Bill Belichick. All right, so we can move forward to more quarterback top in just a minute.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You know, the last time we saw Patrick Mahomes on the field, he was running for his life in the Super Bowl against the Bucs. Now, his poor offensive line didn't help much, but Mahomes is also playing through a toe injury that he underwent a procedure on this offseason. So he's not quite 100% yet, but his head coach, Andy Reid, had the latest on his star quarterback earlier today.
Yeah, he's been doing everything. So he's, been full go, and he's still working with Rick and with the toe and that. So we utilize this as more of a passing camp. You know, we don't run the ball much in this thing. So it's good that way. And his toe's really done well.
Free to react here. Kimberly, could the Chiefs be in the Super Bowl for the third straight season?
When you got Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback, sure. But if I'm another team in the AFC, I don't feel the Chiefs are invincible like I felt like they once were. I don't think after covering the Raiders, going to Arrowhead and beating them last year, after seeing the Browns play them tough, I think the AFC has gotten better. There are a lot of teams that actually could be in the Super Bowl besides the Chiefs.
I got the Chiefs, but no one asked me. Let's move forward to Dan Campbell, the Lions head coach, and his quarterback, Jared Goff.
And look, there again, we're only week one into it. I can tell you this, he throws a pretty ball, that's for sure. But I've liked his mannerisms. I like his command in the huddle. And I would say he's progressing right kind of where you want him to progress at this point.
So, Keith, you like the fit for Jared Goff in Detroit?
I do. You know, he comes in as a veteran leader at the quarterback position. There's no pressure there, really. This is a team that's trying to build under Dan Campbell. If I know anything, I know Dan Campbell is the head coach, and Coach Lynn is the offensive coordinator, and Aaron Glenn is the defensive coordinator. This team will be solid and sound. They may not be a playoff caliber team this year, but in the future, they certainly will be. And I think they're in good hands with Jared Goff.
Yeah, Aaron Glenn was one of those guys who could actually cover you in practice back in the day, Key. I remember those days. All right, one more here. And Trevor Lawrence, you may have heard of him, the number one overall pick in the draft, the Jaguars quarterback. He's going to generate a lot of attention, more so, or maybe as much as Tim Tebow, new teammate and now with tight end. Here's Trevor. Here's his new head coach, Urban Meyer.
Yeah, he had a great day yesterday, okay day today. Well, big reason it was red zone emphasis, and that's obviously a very hard area of the field. The field changes, especially against NFL talent all over the field, and defense had the upper hand today. You know, it wasn't just him. So just new area of the field, which is why you spend so much time down there practicing, completely different game.
Tim, how hard will this adjustment be for Trevor Lawrence?
I think this will be a significant adjustment, Field. If there was probably one criticism of his game coming out of Clemson is that he didn't play with a ton of anticipation, mainly because he didn't have to. Mm. When you're down in the red zone, things happen quicker. It's a condensed area of the field. And so anticipation, playing on time is critical. I think it'll be a big adjustment for him.
I miss Tim Hasselbeck on ACC Network calling games in the fall. I can't wait for that. to be back. It's a big day for Giants quarterback Daniel Jones, who celebrates his 24th birthday today. It's also a critical year ahead for him on the football field as he enters the all-important third year and has his best supporting cast yet. His head coach, Joe Judge, was asked about upgrading the quarterback position. Interesting sound.
Daniel Jones, our quarterback, Pat.
Thanks.
Every time they signed a wide receiver, they talked about how they were looking to get you playmakers, not the team.
Anytime we're bringing guys in, however we do it, I think it's about the team. It's about building something as a group together, and I certainly felt that way as we went about the offseason.
All right, Kimberly, like a good rom-com myself, this was love at first sight, right?
Ooh, Phil, this was full-bloom love. I was in that introductory press conference on draft night when Dave Gettleman, the Giants GM, drafted Daniel Jones. And that was, at the time, a surprising pick considering the other options. But look, this is year three. Dave Gettleman's future with the team is tied to Daniel Jones. Joe Judge wasn't there when they drafted him. So, yes, Daniel Jones is their guy. But as we've talked about all offseason, all these players, all these QBs are your guy until he falters, until there's somebody else better that's available. So right now, Giants are all in on Daniel Jones, but he has to prove that he can protect the football, that he can take this team to the next level, that he can improve his game. Year three, this is huge for him and the Giants.
You know, Tim, I'm old enough to remember when quarterbacks got more than a year before they had to become a star. Daniel Jones, can he be the answer in New York? He's only had 2 years of playing in the NFL so far.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He can be in your right field. I mean, and let's face it, he's had 1 year under his current offensive coordinator. So you would think that he'd take a step forward this coming season, especially since the talent around him is going to be significantly better. You think about some of the offseason additions, Kyle Rudolph at tight end, obviously Kenny Golladay at wide receiver. They draft Kadarius Toney. Saquon Barkley should be back healthy. The supporting cast should be better. But it's kind of, look back at that draft night. Look, I think he was overdrafted. He was a sixth overall pick. It was a surprise to a lot of people. I think it was probably too high. And with being drafted that high, expectations are super high. But he needs a good supporting cast around him. At least the Giants are trending that direction of getting the people around him so that, yes, Field, he can be successful. Because I think there's other things about him in terms of his demeanor, the way he kind of handles the media, things like that. That I think will suit him well in New York.
I kind of follow Tim. Tim, echo what Tim is saying. They got a surrounding cast that's pretty decent. Saquon Barkley, if he's healthy. But look, it's all about Jason Garrett in this situation as the offensive coordinator. Put him in the right positions to make the plays. Teach him how to cut down on those 39 turnovers in 2 years. Do the little things that make a quarterback great. The New York Giants have never, Eli Manning won 2 Super Bowls, but they never had a quarterback like an Aaron Rodgers when they won those Super Bowls. They always kind of had guys that can take care of business, knew how to do the right things, and this is who Daniel Jones is. He was drafted higher than probably he was projected, but that doesn't mean that he can't have success. This is a very, very important year for him, the third year. After the season, they have things that they have to do in terms of picking up the fifth-year option, making plans for the future. So for him, he needs to go out there and show the New York City and New York fan base that he's capable of carrying the mantle.
And the Giants won't talk about this themselves, but we all know they now have an extra first-round pick in 2022 that if Daniel Jones doesn't meet those expectations, the Giants are equipped to move up in the order if they are hunting for a quarterback. After much speculation, Tua Tagovailoa enters his second season as a Dolphins starting quarterback. Last year, he was 6-3 after taking over for Ryan Fitzpatrick in Week 7, but missed the playoffs. The second-year quarterback explained some of his struggles.
Last year, for me, I wasn't as comfortable just in general. I wasn't comfortable calling plays. I think the guys that we had last year were phenomenal. I just didn't have the comfortability of checking plays, alerting plays. I just rode with the play, even if I knew it in a way that it wasn't gonna work. I was gonna try to make it work. I didn't actually know the playbook necessarily really, really good. And that's on no one else's fault, you know, but my fault. Our play calls were simple when I was in, you know, I didn't have alerts and checks. Whereas now, feeling more comfortable, I can kind of maneuver my way through these things.
Tua doesn't just have a better grasp of the playbook entering year two. He also said his surgically repaired hip feels 10 times better. The Dolphins are hoping the combination of both will lead to more success downfield, as Tua posted the league's second lowest QBR on passes 25 plus yards last season. Miami's additions of Jalen Waddle and Will Fuller should help, and can only help Tua stretch the field more effectively in year two. All right, so Kimberly, what was your initial reaction to Tua saying that about the playbook?
Okay, Field. Sometimes we make big things out of quotes, so I'm going to try to be the voice of reason here. I'm okay. Not going to do that. I think it sounds worse than it actually is. You know, it reminds me of when Sam Darnold said, you know, in primetime, I'm seeing ghosts out there. And you hear that and you're like, ah, Sam, come on, don't say that out loud, because you know what's about to happen. With Tua, I think really what he was just trying to say is, I've gotten so much better. Last year, kind of shaky. I was new. There was a lot of things I didn't understand. Like, things were happening all at once, but they're putting more on my plate. I have a better understanding of what it is to be in the NFL, what it is to study a playbook. It just sounds really bad. It just sounds really bad. But I think he's just trying to explain that he's ahead of where he was last year, and that's really all you want.
Yeah, I kind of get what you're saying, Kimberly.
Oh, but here we go. No, Keyshawn, I'm not going to let you, because I did your radio show and we talked about Sam Darnold and the ghost comment, and you were like, I don't think this is a big deal. I think the media is making too big a deal out of this. Oh, no. So don't try to kill Tua right now. I have the receipts. But go ahead.
I'm not going to kill him. What I'm going to say is, I don't want to hear my quarterback talk about that he was uncomfortable and he didn't understand coverages and things of that nature. When you went to a system at Alabama that taught you those sort of things, plus, and Tim can chime in with me here, you had a veteran quarterback at Ryan Fitzpatrick in the room with you. You also had a veteran offensive coordinator in Chan Gailey in the room with you. So it's just, what is the study habits? Are there bad study habits? Are you not processing the information? I understand you are a rookie. I understand you missed OTAs and things of that nature. On top of that, how are you learning more in OTAs just started? And you got two offensive coordinators that are new now. So I don't know what two are talking about. I'm just saying, me personally, I don't really know. Tim, tell me something, man, because you've been in the quarterback room.
Nah, listen. Listen, Key, I'm with you. First, on the Darnold thing, seeing ghosts. Sometimes you get in a game, the game's going fast. I've been on the sideline and asked the quarterback, hey, how come you didn't throw hot there? And he's like, man, I'm seeing ghosts. Like, there's guys everywhere right now. Like, that happens to quarterbacks, even good ones, okay? But what I have not heard quarterbacks say is, I didn't know the playbook that great. Like, and you know what? It's my fault. Like, that, I have to be honest, I had kind of read some of the comments. That's the first time I had heard him say it in that way. It kind of bothered me. That should never, ever, ever happen with a quarterback, a guy that's drafted in the first round that's going to be the guy. I get it. The offseason was weird. It was hard. But I don't want to hear Joe Burrow or anybody else talking about, hey, I didn't learn the playbook. That to me is bad. Look, I do think he'll be better, but sometimes maybe – you know, you don't have to give everybody all of your information.
Yeah, no, and yes, think about it, though. That's what we want, Tim. That's what we want in the media.
No, think about it, though. He's got two new offensive coordinators that's co-coordinating. And I say to myself when I heard this, no wonder they were flirting around with the possibilities of Deshaun Watson. Maybe they know something that we don't know. Now, I mean, when I look at it, I'm like, I don't know, man. It just makes me scratch my head because now going into – go ahead, Tim.
No, I think you're on the money with this. I think the path that you're following on is right. Anybody that's ever been in a quarterback room with Ryan Fitzpatrick gets challenged, but you typically are better. It's a good environment. He's smart. They're working hard. They're pushing each other that way. You're right about Chan Gailey. Not his first rodeo, but now he's not there. Co-offensive coordinators. Now all of a sudden things are different. And then, oh, by the way, yeah, they were interested in other quarterbacks. Well, then when you hear what Tua said, you take a step back and you're like, wait a minute. Maybe this wasn't like going as smoothly as we maybe thought that it was, because Tua was saying nice things about Ryan Fitzpatrick when Fitz would come in and play well.
Well, I tell you what, as you saw on that, go ahead, Key Ellen, let you finish this off.
No, I would say, he's right on the money.
We all agree, as usual.
I want my quarterback to know who to throw the. Hey, look, I want my quarterback to know who to throw the damn ball to.
It's going to be you too, right, Key? We got time now for.
Throw me the damn ball.
That's right. We've got time for one more thing, and we'll stay in the AFC East for that one more thing. And Jets rookie quarterback Zach Wilson, not discussing the playbook, something else. Welcome to New Jersey.
You know, there's definitely some aggressive drivers here, that's for sure. Getting used to that, getting cut off about everywhere you go. But really I feel like I'm at home. I don't feel homesick. I don't feel like I'm, missing anything or I'm having a blast.
All right, Kimberly, you live in Jersey. You want to defend your turf here, or is Zach Wilson on the money?
Well, I'm from Brooklyn, but now I live in Jersey. So, Zach Wilson, do not be one of those people clogging up the left lane. Just get out, just move to the middle, because we're not aggressive. We just have places to go, and we need to drive a little faster. That's all.
Stay right in the middle. NFL Live is back right here tomorrow.